Well, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? You doing good? Awesome. If you weren't here last Sunday, then let me just say Happy New Year and welcome to 2019. Great to have all of you. My name's Tony Tice, if you're visiting with us and don't know, and I get the awesome privilege of serving as the lead pastor here. So it is great to have you. Whether you're a regular attender or this is your first time out, we consider a privilege that you're here. To spend time worshiping with us and diving into God's Word together. Well, there were some scientists who studied a native tribe in South America whose people have been dying prematurely for generations. They discovered that the cause of the premature deaths were determined to be a disease that was transmitted by an insect that was living in the walls of their clay homes. The knowledge presented several options. They could move to another area where no such insects live. They could tear down their homes and rebuild the walls without clay. They could use insecticide to rid their homes of the bugs, or they could continue to do as they always have, do nothing and die early. Unfortunately, these people have opted to remain as they are and do nothing about their problem. Unfortunately, there are many Christians who behave the same way. They know they need to change, and yet they still live the same way day after day, year after year, hoping that their life changes, but not taking any real direction in their life to see that change occur, and it's slowly killing their spiritual vitality. As we continue in 2019, our vision series, Follow Me, I want to make sure that doesn't happen for us. I want us to move in the direction of change. I mean, wouldn't that be amazing that 2020, that we looked back in 2019 and we were able to say, wow, what a year of amazing growth. How many would like to see that this coming year? So do I. And that's part of this series, is to cast some vision of what that could look like for us as a church and for us as individuals. Today, our focus is, how do I mature? How do I grow as a follower of Jesus Christ? Neil Cole, who's written a number of books on discipleship, bluntly states that ultimately each church will be evaluated by only one thing, its disciples. Your church is only as good as its disciples. It does not matter how good your praise, preaching, programs, or property are. If your disciples are passive, needy, consumeristic, and not moving in the direction of radical obedience, your church is not good. Wow. And all God's people said, not amen. Ouch. That hurt. We don't want that to be the case here at Sugar Grove. Dallas Willard, some of you are familiar with that name. Maybe some of you have read some of his books. He has said that every church ought to be able to ask and answer two questions. What is our plan for making disciples of Jesus? And then number two, is our plan working? I want you to know this morning that our leadership here at Sugar Grove have been wrestling with these two questions over the past 6 months. Because many churches measure success, as I said last week, by budget, building, and butts in the seat. And if we were to measure our success by that standard, then we would probably be considered successful. We just paid off our mortgage 3 years early. Our giving since 2015 has increased by a yearly amount of about $500,000. Since 2015, we've experienced over 30% growth since 2015. And we celebrate that. I don't think there's anything, I don't apologize for celebrating that. But we must resist the temptation to make that the ultimate measure of our success. This series and the direction and the dreams that we are sharing in it are the results of the leadership asking these tough questions. What is our plan for making disciples, and is it working? Questions about whether or not we're making, maturing, and multiplying disciples of Jesus. And quite honestly, in some ways that we are, and praise God, and we celebrate that. But in some ways, we're not. There are things that we've had to ask tough questions like, yes, we're growing, but are we really making, maturing, and multiplying disciples as effectively as we ought to for the glory of God? When it comes to understanding what it means to mature as a disciple of Jesus, there are two passages in the book of Matthew that really help us out. Sometimes we call these two passages the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, and the Great Commandment, Matthew 22. So if you have a Bible, you want to turn to Matthew 28. If you don't have a Bible this morning, you can go to our church app or look up here. We'll have the words up here as well. So I'm going to look at these two passages of Scripture. They're familiar. I've mentioned them before. But when it comes to understanding, what does that really mean to grow or mature as a follower of Christ? Both of these passages help us out. Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission. I'm going to start by reading verse 16 through 18, just give you a little context. Jesus has already died on the cross for our sins. He's risen from the dead, defeated Satan and death. And he's getting ready to go back to the Heavenly Father, to go to the right hand of the Father, to be our mediator on our behalf, and then someday return to establish his kingdom forever and ever. Amen. But he wants to have some last words with his disciples before he goes. And he says this. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and he said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So before he gives them the task, he gives them a reminder. And if you're here today and you have a task that you know God has for you, that God is leading you out, there's something you know that he's asking you to do, and maybe like I do sometimes, you're dragging your heels a little bit. You're waiting for more confirmation. You're waiting for more open doors. But if you had to really be honest with yourself, it's because you're afraid. It's because you're not sure you want to pay the price that it may even cost to do what God's calling you. If that's you, if you're here and God is calling you out, there is something specific that you know that God is calling you to, I want you to be encouraged this morning, because the same God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same encouragement he gave the disciples then is the same encouragement he wants to give to you, and that's this, that when he calls you out for a task, he will give you all of the authority of heaven and on earth to go with you. Put another way, you have all the power you need to do what God has called you to do. All authority in heaven and on earth. Scripture says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I said it last week. Those who God calls, God equips. All authority goes with you if it is God who is calling you out. Anybody encouraged by that this morning? Goes on and says, verse 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And I love it that Jesus begins and ends with encouragement for the journey. He begins by saying that discipleship is possible because his authority is over all things and is with us. And he ends by saying, and oh, by the way, I will always be with you. Said another way, his presence and his power will always go with us. Come on, church. Be encouraged this morning. Whatever God has called you to. Whatever he's called you to who to come alongside and maybe this year focus on trying to introduce the gospel to. Whatever sin it is maybe that he's calling you to say, okay, this is the year that I overcome this sin. This is the year I get that relationship right. This is the year this or that or that. That listen, God tells us that his power and his presence will go with us when we go out in the name of Jesus Christ. I hope that encourages you this morning. I'll be honest with you, I'm pretty bold up here, but if I had to be totally honest with you and totally transparent with you this morning, the truth of the matter is I tend to be, or can be, I should say, an insecure leader that oftentimes struggles with self-doubt. And maybe that's the reason I so often tell you that Jesus is our Lord, lead pastor. Maybe it's to remind myself as much as to remind you. I want to tell you this morning, if you're riddled with fear, or you're riddled with worry or self-doubt this week, I want to tell you, in that moment this week, when all of those emotions and feelings come your way, I want you to grab hold of them in that moment. The Bible says, take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. I want to give you some good news today. Do you know that you are not slaves to your emotions or feelings? Satan might try to tell you you are, but you are not. We take captive those emotions and feelings and make them, submit them to obedience to Christ and his word. And so here's what I want you to do this week by way of application, that whatever it is that God is calling you out in 2019 to do, to accomplish, to do for his glory, for his kingdom as a disciple of Christ, in those moments when fear and worry and anxiety, all of those things come bombarding that's tempting you to not step out in obedience, what I want you to do, I want you to grab hold in that moment that you're feeling those things. I want you to grab it in that moment, and I want you to say, that's how I feel, but here's what God's word says. His power and his presence is with me. So fear not, child. Fear not. Amen? Ultimately, the task that he gives is to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded. So let me just give a quick review. If you weren't here last week, or just a reminder, I'm sure you memorized everything I said last week. I get that. But just in case, let me just kind of remind us of some things we mentioned last week. First of all, we mentioned that our direction or our mission as a church is clear. Getting there and accomplishing, that's an ongoing journey. But our mission is clear. Our direction is clear. To multiply disciples of Jesus for God's glory. We don't have to be the biggest church. We don't have to be the best church. We don't have to have the best programs. We don't have to have the best worship. We don't have to have the best preaching. We may have the best looking pastor, but besides that, maybe we don't have other things, but that's okay. We don't need to have all those things. What we need is we need to make sure that we are on mission with what Jesus Christ has called us to do, and that is clear because Jesus told us we are to multiply disciples of Jesus for God's glory. That's why Sugar Grove Church exists. We can never lose sight of that. And what that looks like, that process involves three M's: make, mature, and multiply. To make disciples means that we know what it means to follow Christ, to choose the narrow road. We looked at that last week. A disciple knows what it really means to follow Jesus and is willing to go that road. This week we look at what does it mean to mature as a disciple. A disciple not only knows, a disciple grows. That's not enough just to get heaven one day, as we sung, that we are to grow as we're growing in our love relationship with Christ, to live and love more and more like Jesus as we grow. That's a calling that God has on our lives, to mature in that love and in obedience to Christ. And then next week, we'll look at the idea of then ultimately to multiply. Because it's not enough just to know. It's not enough just to grow. At the end of the day, we're called to go, church. The church is not stationary. The church is not a building. The church is not an organization. The church is a living, breathing organism. It's a movement of God. It is not stationary. Church is as much what we're doing out there Monday through Saturday as is what we're doing right now, right here. That, as I understand the New Testament church, the church is on the move. That's what the church is. The church goes and makes disciples. We'll look at that more next week. Disciples, essentially, disciples disciple. That's the measure that discipleship is happening, that disciples are discipling. And over the course of this series, much more in February, we're going to lay out for you 1, 3, and 5-year dreams that we believe that God has given us here at Sugar Grove Church. But I did give one of them yesterday, and that is that each person would identify the one. Would everyone just hold your hand up in the air with the ones, okay? Just everyone just like, I'm number one kind of thing, all right? Or be more spiritual, God's number one, all right. All right, here's the first dream that we gave. Okay, I'm going to give one. I gave one yesterday, I'm going to give one today, and then we're going to, sprinkle them through the rest of the series. But that each person would identify the one. And what we mean by that is that each Sugar Grover would personally feel a responsibility as part of being part of the body of Christ, that each would take the responsibility. Okay, I'm the only one doing the one anymore. Are we done with that? Okay, that's fine. Be done with that. I know you're tired. Okay, whatever. All right. All right, that each one of us would identify one person in our life that is not yet a follower of Jesus Christ. And that we are going to be very intentional this year in 2019, that we are going to pray specifically and regularly for that person, and that we are going to be intentional in helping to come alongside of them in relationship, to invest in their life and help invite them to what that means to embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're asking everyone at Sugar Grove who knows Christ to make a commitment this year. I am going to identify the one in my life. We're going to talk at the very last week of the series. We'll talk more about some tools on what that could look like, okay? So we'll get there. So there's a true story about an owner of a jewelry store who was having trouble selling some of her merchandise. Specifically, she had an overabundance of turquoise and silver Native American jewelry. The owner had tried every conventional sales trick to make the jewelry more appealing, but nothing seemed to work. So on her way out of town for a business trip, she scribbled a desperate note to the store manager directing her to cut the price in half. She wrote, "Everything in this display case, price X, one half." Well, when she got back, she found out that all of the jewelry ended up being sold. Now, the astonishing part was that the manager had misread the scribbled note. She had read the one half as a two. So instead of slashing the original price of the jewelry in half, she actually doubled the price. So how in the world did she manage to sell the unsellable jewelry at double the price? The buyers never questioned the true value of the jewelry. They just assumed that an expensive price tag must translate into valuable and good jewelry. Somehow, some way, the shoppers bought the change in price tags. And you know, unfortunately, it is my opinion anyways, that we have changed the price tags in the church on what is true and valuable and what is the cheap imitation. I believe that we've settled in churches today for a cheap imitation of what Jesus actually has truly called us to what it really means to follow Jesus and to mature as a follower of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we've changed the price tag of what Jesus actually ever said. I think one of those is we've changed the price tag and we've placed a high price tag on spiritual busyness. That maturity means I'm super, super busy. Anytime that the doors of the church are open, I'm there. And as long as I'm doing a bunch of stuff and staying super busy spiritually, then that means that I'm mature. I think another price tag that we've set is a high price tag is spiritual knowledge. As long as I have a lot of knowledge, as long as I could win at Bible trivia, that must mean that I'm spiritually mature. Now, don't get me wrong this morning. I think it's important that we are growing in biblical knowledge, certainly. And I think that we should invest our lives in serving Christ through the local church. I'm not saying that those are bad things and that those aren't things that we should do. But here's what happens. Sometimes we've changed the price tag and we have said to people that that's what makes you mature, as long as you're doing those things. But I got to tell you something. You can have all the religious knowledge and you can be religiously busy, and yet God, Jesus Christ, never actually touched your heart. So I want to do this morning, not my words, not my opinions, but I want to share with you the two things that Jesus said, not me, that Jesus said marks a true person who's growing in spiritual maturity. You see, at the end of Matthew 28, he says, "Teach them to observe or to obey what I've commanded." The first one is this: maturity is marked by obedience. Maturity is marked by obedience. Would you say it with me? Maturity is marked by? It's marked by? Obedience. This past week, my wife and I had a rare moment where we had a free night where we decided that we were going to watch a show together, and we ended up watching a documentary on the death of John F. Kennedy Jr. Some of you might remember that. July of this year will mark the 20th anniversary of his death. In 1999, JFK Jr. flew his small plane from New York City to his family home in Massachusetts for a wedding. On board were his wife Carolyn and her sister. Though Kennedy was a licensed pilot, he had not yet been approved for instrumental flight. When their takeoff was delayed after dark, Kennedy should have waited for daylight or sought a more experienced pilot for help. Yet Kennedy took off into the darkness. The plane never reached its destination, and all three passengers were tragically killed in the crash. Investigators determined that the crash was likely caused by disorientation from flying over open water at night without any landmarks or visible horizon. Kennedy's lack of experience may have led him to trust what he thought he was seeing more than what his instrument panel was actually telling him. And as I watched that, I began to think about what we're talking about today. And you know, all of us face the temptation to walk according to our sight instead of by faith, to trust ourselves instead of truly trusting and obeying what God is telling us through His Word. God will keep us from crashing. His Word will keep us on the right course as long as we obey. But so many of us, whatever He's asking, especially when it's hard, we come up with all of these what ifs, and we think, well, yeah, but this, and I don't know about this. Is it really God? I don't know if God's really telling me to do this. And what do? We live by our sight instead of by faith. And a mark of maturity is a willingness to trust and obey, even when God hasn't detailed what it's going to look like, but He's pointed us into a direction. And in that moment, we have a choice. Am I going to live by sight, not by faith, or am I going to live by faith, not by sight? Do I trust God enough to obey where God is leading me? And that right there, friends, is a mark of maturity, the ability to say, even though I don't know necessarily what God is up to, and even though He hasn't given me all the details, I am going to trust Him and obey Him. I'm going to walk by faith, not by sight. And yet that's hard sometimes. Has anybody else noticed that sometimes God asks us to do hard things? Just show a hand if you've ever experienced God asking you to do hard things. Well, that's the difference between those who experience the blessings of God and experience that growth and maturity and that abundant life is in those moments the choice we have to obey or not to obey. Maturity is marked by obedience. So let me ask you a practical question, right? We're to be doers of the word, not hearers only. So let me just ask you a practical question to wrestle with this week. What would maturity marked by obedience look like in your life this week? Because we can nod and say amen, but what would it look like to actually have my life marked by maturity through obedience this week? Maybe for some of you, there's a relationship that's been unhealthy. And you know that's not honoring to God, that you need to talk to the person. You need to resolve the issue. There needs to be a tough conversation, and maybe even dragging your heels because you don't know how it's going to turn out and what the results are going to be. But that is a test of maturity this week. Is I know that God wants me to get this relationship right, and so I'm going to trust God, and I am going to take, even though it's a scary step, I'm going to take that step, and I'm going to resolve this relationship because God wants me to have healthy, God-honoring relationships. Maybe for some of you, there's a sin that you've been holding on to, and you've been holding on. Nobody knows about, maybe not even your spouse knows about, maybe not even your closest friends, but you know that it's time to finally lay that at the altar and be all that God has called you to be, and to let go of that God in your life, and that this is the year to say, I'm going to step out, because we are only as sick as our secrets, aren't we? And I'm going to bring that into the light, and I'm going to confess that to God, and I'm going to confess that to a friend that I can trust that loves Jesus, that will hold me accountable and help walk with me in this. Maybe that's the step of obedience this week. Or maybe God has called you a specific task for the kingdom of God, and you've been saying, there's so many better people that could do this. Come on, people. He used a donkey. He spoke through a donkey in the Old Testament. He really doesn't need much. So that one, God didn't really buy that one. Oh, there's much better people. Yeah, I know. That's not the point. I've called you. So maybe that's it this week. You know God's called you to a task. whatever that task is, to serve the kingdom and to say, okay, this week, I'm going to take a step of faith and I'm going to obey. Maturity is marked by obedience, but there's a second thing that marks maturity, and that's found in Matthew chapter 22. Again, the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 34. It says that when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend, what's the next word? All the law and the prophets. I mean, this is amazing what Jesus says, that every single commandment you find in Scripture is rooted in the one great commandment, and that's love. That the ultimate act of obedience is love. To love God with all our hearts, soul, and mind, and let me just simplify that, with all of our being, with all that we are, that's going to be my first love. Not my spouse, not my job, not my kids. My first love is going to be God. I'm going to pursue that above any other relationship. That's the ultimate step of obedience, is I'm going to choose to love God, and then what flows out of that is loving people as Jesus loved people. That's not a commandment. That's not one of the commandments. It is the commandment that all commandments are rooted in. So the measure of maturity is not only obedience, but it's also measured by love. We measure our maturity in Christ by our love. You see, knowledge cannot replace love. Busyness cannot replace love. It is only in giving our heart, soul, and mind to loving God as the highest pursuit of our heart that true discipleship flows out of our lives. And I want you to catch this. This is so important we get this in the right order. This love is ultimately the thing that fuels our obedience. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 5, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live shall no longer live for themselves but for him who died for them and was raised again. This is huge, church. Trying harder, trying to have more discipline isn't ultimately the answer. That's not going to work in 2019. The one who died for our sins and rose again to give us supernatural life is the same one who wants to meet with us each and every day. Ultimately, church, it's not about what we are doing for the Savior. It's about being with the Savior. And so often in churches, we flip that around and we think, man, if I'm really obedient, then that will earn God's love in my life. And we flipped it around. That's not the order. We don't obey so that God might love us. Guess what? God already loves you. No matter what you may do this week, nothing will change the depth of God's love for you. Nothing. The Bible says God is love. It's simply who he is. It's his being. He can't help but love. God is love. There is nothing that's going to change the depth of his love for you. Obeying him or trying to obey him harder doesn't make him love you more. No, the more we embrace and live and prioritize that love in our lives, then obedience flows out of that. You see, we've reversed the order. I've got to obey. I've got to try to please him so he'll love me. No, he already loves you. You embrace that love, and then that's what fuels a desire for obedience. Love leads to obedience, not the other way around. Would you say it with me? Love leads to obedience. Love leads to obedience. So let's get practical again. What could you do in 2019 to help cultivate a more loving relationship with Christ? Maybe it's giving up a hobby. That hobby, while there's nothing wrong in and of itself, that hobby has consumed me. You know? That hobby's consumed you, and it's drawing you away from your first love. Maybe that's to say, you know what, I've never really stuck to really taking time to cultivate time with God, and this is the year that I really want to make it a priority. I'm going to get with God in prayer and in his word, and I'm going to make that a priority in my life for 2019. I don't know what it looks like for you, but what would it look like to cultivate a higher priority in your love relationship with God? Because I'm going to tell you, it's not trying harder, but it's in prioritizing your love relationship with God that the desire and the strength and power for obedience flows out of. So, maturity is marked by love that flows into obedience. But what are some practical steps to help me grow? And so I've got about 9 minutes left, and so I want to spend the last 9 minutes that I have with you. I kind of evaluated what's helped me grow over the years. And I'm sure that your growth chart probably looks like mine. I'd love to be able to stand up here and say to you, oh, my growth chart looks like this. Man, I'm awesome. But unfortunately, that wouldn't be the case. I'd be lying. And probably your growth chart over the years probably looks something like mine, right? Right? One of those? Or worse, okay? Appreciate the honesty. It's not about perfection, it's about progression, right? Taking steps of obedience and growth in our life. But what are those things? As I look back on my life, sure hasn't been perfect, but as I've grown over the years, what are some of those things? And so I want to just close our last few minutes sharing some practical things. Number one, we grow through our connection with Christ. There is no other way. There's no way around it. You can't stay super busy to replace that. Nothing replaces it. It's only through our connection with Christ. I've kind of already talked about that, but let me just say, read something that Jesus said in John 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much what? Apart from me, you can do. These are the words of Jesus. He's saying, listen, the key is not more effort. Trying harder, finding a new church, finding a better Christian book. The answer is making a tenacious commitment. I'm going to remain in Christ. I'm going to stay connected in the business of life. I'm not going to compromise that. I'm going to remain connected to Christ. You have a plant here, and if I yank off a branch like this, what's going to happen to this branch? It's going to die. Now, it doesn't look dead right now. In fact, by the time I'm done and we do a closing worship song, it's probably going to still look like it's alive. And I don't know enough about plants. I don't know how long it's going to still look alive. But at some point, it's going to start turning brown. And at some point, it's going to shrivel up and just be totally dead, right? Because that's how that works. And the truth of the matter is, I think that's what Jesus is kind of making a point, that if we disconnect ourselves from the vine, and he is the vine, that in our lives, and it may be over time, and people might not even notice, and we may still look very spiritual, all right, but if we disconnect ourselves and we stop prioritizing our relationship with Christ, because let me just say it again, there is nothing in your life more important than your relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing. For you or for me. That if we disconnect with Christ, we still may look spiritual. We may still go through the motions. We still may say the right things come out of our mouth, the spiritual, lingo. But the truth of the matter is, inwardly, our hearts are getting brown and is shriveling up. And at some point, that'll seep out. And say, oh my goodness, how did I get here? You know, the thing is, I could try all I want. I could get scotch tape. I could get electric tape. I could try even duct tape. I could try so hard to reconnect this branch to this vine. Would that ever work? No. Because you can't reconnect it. It's dying, and there's nothing to do about it. It's dead. But here's why I love the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's why I love that the Bible is a story about redemption. Because unlike this branch, we can always, while we still have breath, we can always reconnect to Jesus Christ in our life. One of the heartbeats of this church is that no matter where you are at in your spiritual journey, it is never too late to reconnect with Jesus Christ. Amen? And maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe 2018 was just a horrible year and you've experienced a lot of defeat and a lot of failure and a lot of mistakes. I want you to know that unlike this branch, you are a branch that is deeply loved by God, and you can always reconnect to that life-sustaining, life-giving vine known as Jesus Christ. We grow by staying connected to Christ or reconnecting to Christ. Number two, we grow through our relationship with others. We can't grow in our connection with Christ into maturity if we're not connected to the community of Christ. Scripture is clear on that, and we're going to talk about that in future weeks, so I won't take the time to do that now. You know, I recently heard a cute story about a little boy who was overheard talking to himself as he strutted through the backyard wearing his baseball cap, carrying a ball and bat. "I'm the greatest hitter in the world," he announced. And then he tossed the ball up in the air, swung at it, and missed. "Strike one," he said. Yeah, undaunted, he picked up the ball and tried it again, threw it up, took a swing, missed again. "Strike two." Well, he paused for a moment to examine his bat and ball carefully. Maybe it was their fault. He spit on his hands and he rubbed them together. He straightened his cap and he said once more, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world." And he threw it up again. And this time he took a swing and he missed again. "Strike three," he said. Then he paused and thought about it for a second. And then he said, "Wow, I'm the greatest pitcher in the world." Fact of the matter is that we're all going to fail sometimes. We're all going to make mistakes. I promise you one thing in 2019. At some point, you and I are going to stumble. We're going to have to apologize to God, and there's probably people we're going to have to apologize to in 2019. And we have a choice in those moments. And here's our choice. We can give up or we can grow up. You see, for many of us, we allow our mistakes to define us. And yet, throughout Scripture, we see that mistakes don't have to define us. Actually, God can use them to refine us instead. Aren't you thankful for the stories of redemption in Scripture? You see, some of you might need to be encouraged this morning, and maybe you didn't expect this to be one of them. But as I look back on my own life, some of the greatest things that have helped me grow have actually been my mistakes. We can grow through our mistakes. Aren't you thankful for that? Because my guess is there's some here that you made a lot of them maybe this year. And you feel guilty and you feel ashamed. And you wonder if you even belong here. Trust me, if you've made mistakes and you're a sinner, you're in the perfect place here this morning. We grow through our mistakes. God is faithful. He will forgive and show up and help us grow through the failures that we've experienced in our lives, if we don't give up, but choose to allow God to grow us up through our mistakes. And I want to just end with one last one this morning. We also grow through our hearts being healed. Our hearts being healed. This is a whole message all by itself, but I know that there are some that need to hear this today. You see, here's what happens. We oftentimes will turn to sin, not just because we have a sin nature, not just because there's something, you know, fun in that sin, but oftentimes our heart will turn to sin because we think that sin, we think that thing will provide something that will somehow help heal our heart, or at least take away the pain for a while. And I got to be honest with you and almost apologize for the church. And I don't mean Sugar Grove, I just mean in general. But over my years, here's been an observation of one of the ways the church has failed over the years. So many times I feel that the church, the message that people hear is you need to change your behavior. That's the message. Behavior modification. Now please hear my heart. I believe our actions do matter. Our behavior does matter. Those things, it's not that those things don't matter, But that's the message people have heard over the years. You need to change your behavior. Stop doing this. Stop doing that. And we leave here saying, yeah, I'm a screw up, man. I really got to try harder this week. And I want to tell you, we've never gotten to the root of the issue. Do you realize that when Jesus came alongside people, he focused on the heart, not the behavior? Because Jesus understood that if I capture your heart, if I heal your heart, if I take your brokenness and all the damage that maybe you grew up with it, maybe someone hurt you, but all of those hurt. Listen, here's the thing. An unhealthy heart will do unhealthy things and have unhealthy relationships. And so we compound the issue by saying, well, stop doing those things. And never go to the heart where Jesus went. And so we try to stay busy. We try to gain knowledge, and we think that somehow those will fix it. But here's the deal. You can have all the Bible knowledge in the world. You can stay super busy, man. You can get the award for being at the church the most times in the course of the year. You can do all of those things, and none of those things actually touch the heart. Because at the end of the day, the Heavenly Father needs to heal a wounded heart. Because we will continue to turn to other things, to other gods that we think will somehow do that. And Scripture is clear, God is the only one that will do that. Psalm 147:3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And this is where I apologize for the church in general sometimes. And I'm not saying it's every church, I'm not saying it's most churches, but here's an observation I've made 30 years of being a Christian. Some churches shoot their wounded instead of serve their wounded. God forgive us for that. Because the church, as I understand it, the church should be the one place that you don't have to have it all together. The church is the one place that you can come and be open and honest and vulnerable and say, I'm not okay. And I hurt. And I have pain. And I need help. And I want to tell you, one of my great passions, and I speak on behalf of the leadership, by the way, not just my passion, but one of my great passion and the leadership of this church is that we are a place where the hurting find hope in Christ. So I'm going to share the one dream, and we'll spell it out in specifics towards the end of the series. But here's one of our other dreams, to have a fully functioning recovery and counseling ministry here at Sugar Grove Church. And that's not just a dream in the sense of, gee, I hope it happens. I want you to know there are very specific things we're even doing literally this week that we're doing right now to move towards that ultimate goal. So pray with that, join us in that journey, but that's one of our dreams. If this church is just for the healthy, to be honest with you, I don't want to be a part of it. Because guess what? I'm going to let you know a little secret. I'm not always healthy. Sometimes I hurt, and sometimes I stumble, and I want to be in a place where my church is my family. And they'll love me, they'll embrace me, and they won't say, well, go memorize a verse and get better. They will journey with me in finding that healing in the Heavenly Father. Amen, church? All right, cool. Yeah, we clap for that. Band's going to come out as we close with a song. We'll have a team up here. I'd love to pray with you. If you want to pray with someone, would you stand with me as we close? And as you're standing, let me just summarize, because I've thrown a lot at you. Here's what I want you to leave here remembering. True mark of maturity is love and obedience. And the steps that we can take towards that is staying connected or reconnecting with Christ, having other people in our life to help us in the journey, being willing to grow up, not give up when we fail, and coming to the Heavenly Father when our heart needs true healing. Those are the steps. Amen? So by way of application, I'll simply ask, What's one step this week for you to move towards maturity in Christ? Father God, thank you for your holy and precious word. And may we leave here, Father, desiring to know you above all else, to know and to serve you this week, to trust and obey, and to pursue you in love, Father. We pray all this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.